So I'm looking at the old intro here, and of course we'll be playing the usual. Motherfucker, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Okay, I'm almost hoping that shows up on the.
No, we're not.
They kicked us out of the AFK. We're in a daycare now.
We're doing it wherever we can.
Okay, so I'm looking at the old intro here. We're going to have to rewrite this. A lot of stuff has happened, you know. It's basically because you've had a lot of changes in your life. I've had a lot of changes in my life. And the interesting thing is also we've got two episodes of the old podcast that I still need to edit and go through and post.
Yeah.
You edited the one. I have to update that. But in a way, this is a new beginning. So I feel like we should get rid of the old intro because I've been listening to some podcasts and the new girlfriend, Chelsea, she listens to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. So I'll try and formulate something either to tack on the beginning of this or what have you. Anyway, yes, new intro. Something along the lines of new circumstances, but same two assholes with the same shitty taste in movies.
And then hear like an explosion in the background.
Either that or a microwave going off.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
With a sheepish...
Oh, that would be neat. No, we're not on her plane. It's so funny how things work out, Steve.
Yeah, no kidding. This is the first time in, like, months that we've been able to, and yet here we are. Anyway, enough bitching and complaining. Why don't we talk about...
Let's get to it.
So, what we've done... is since I have a looming trip to Japan that somebody was supposed to go with me.
Are we recording right now, Steve? Are we started?
Is this on?
Is this on? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to get creative with keeping whatever was happening there. So.
Oh, jeez.
So welcome to the Screaming Baby Podcast.
We're doing this live on an airplane.
No. So we're at our usual haunt at AFK Tavern, and if you hear some questions in the background, it's trivia night here. So answer the questions you want. And
Yes, game show version episode.
Leave your answers in the comments, and we'll reward you with a response.
As a shout out.
It'll be a strongly worded attaboy.
Yes.
Yes, we're so proud of you.
We're so proud.
My boy Blue.
Now, I guess as a lead-in, because I wrote an article for the website a couple years ago, well, because I'd noticed that with a lot of nerd sites, they, for example, I always take a look at comicbook.com, and they started off just doing, my God, comic books, hence the web title, or, you know, the website address.
Yeah.
But then they started doing wrestling. It's like almost any nerd site you go to, eventually professional wrestling works its way in.
Really?
And I said, I'd be damned if that was going to happen on my watch.
Whoa. And what happened, Steve?
It happened. This movie has made it happen.
It made it happen, y'all. Unbelievably.
So we are taking a look at the film The Calamari Wrestler, directed by Minoru Kawasaki. He is referred to as the Ed Wood of Japan.
Oh.
Now, I don't buy that exactly, and we'll go into it when we talk about the film, because, I mean, when you think of Ed Wood, you think of really bad movies. Like, yeah. I've watched Plan 9 from Outer Space, and it hurt.
Yeah.
You know? It's like flying saucers are like, you know, pie tins hung upside down.
Yeah, popping and noses and stuff.
And the effects work here was decent. I mean, the suits were really cool.
They're interesting.
Yeah.
They're interesting.
So there's some, but this is his first hit. Now, I remember when we were first talking about it, we were going to do another film of his called Executive Koala.
Yes. Almost Executive Panda. Panda.
But right. Charles, in his infinite wisdom, decided, hey, squid in wrestling. I don't know. What was your thought process on that?
I don't know. I thought that there would be a lot of talk about in the subject of tentacles, Steve.
Oh, yes. Japan. Tentacles.
Segues.
How did I ever miss that?
If we're going to go classic, we might as well go classic.
All right, so this is his actual, and actually that was a smart choice on your part because this is his first hit movie in Japan.
Oh, man.
Right, so yay, Charles did something right.
Touché. I would like to say it was on purpose, but we all know better.
Now, that being said, even though we talked about the Ed Wood angle a little bit, the first thing I have written down here on my notes is bad acting in any language.
Yeah.
Before I go into that, I guess we should talk about the plot of the film.
Oh, yes.
As it were.
Yeah.
Because this also ties into the director, given that I was looking at some of his other works, and wrestling seems to factor into a lot of, or at least a couple of his films. Plot of the movie. How do you want to describe this? Essentially, a wrestler who is thought to be dead comes back in the form of a giant squid and seeks to reclaim his professional wrestling championship against his friend, who is now engaged to be married to his ex.
His ex, Gold Digger.
She was cute, though.
Maybe, but... Man, she held no loyalty, man. What was that?
Well, no. I agree. I guess you could sum this movie up as a game of Pong, where you've got Squid Guy and Wrestler Guy, who later becomes Octopus Guy, and she's the ball that bounces between them. She was a really bad actress.
She's a bad actress, but one thing she did do well, Steve, was she definitely played the role of a Gold Digger. There you go.
Right. You have to give the film props also for as much shit as we just gave Japan and their obsession with tentacles. It's there, but it was as tastefully done as you could. And it didn't last for very long either.
It was quick. I don't even know what was going on. Were they underwater?
Well...
They weren't in a bathtub or something.
Okay, maybe this is just me and my usual perverted way of thinking about things, but there was a very obvious ink joke that they did not make, and I was disappointed.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think
the squid reaches the moment of climax, and then she gets covered in ink. That would have been hilarious.
He had hormone issues, Steve. But that factors into the whole... beginning of the film anyway, when they're like, yeah, we'll get to that.
And I guess the other thing to point out, since we've already talked about the plot, is, and believe me, that's kind of like the bare bones what you'd read in TV Guide. We'll get into the nuances of what happens in the film as we go through, because I'm not sure if you made the analogy in your notes or not. We'll get to it eventually. But no, one of his other films, I think it's called like Kaiju Mano or Kaiju Mano or something like that. But it's essentially a giant monster threatens Japan and they grow a professional wrestler to like 60 stories to wrestle the kaiju.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'll be looking for that my next visit to Scarecrow Video.
Well, it probably beats his other movie, which is called Pussy Soup, Steve.
There was another one. It's like Rug Cop. Or something.
Oh my gosh.
And if you want a good not safe for work laugh, by all means check out this guy's filmography. It's
maybe that was one similar to that one. I'm sorry.
He'll be appearing on the site more, I can almost guarantee.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things.
So, all right, let's get into the meat of it here.
All right.
Like I said, I think we both agreed that there was this one particular scene where it's after the calamari wrestler makes his initial appearance, and the girl figures out that it's her ex who was supposed to be dead, and her current boyfriend isn't taking it well, and the argument that ensues between them is, you know, you would think that... It's in a foreign language that you would think that, oh, I won't be able to detect the bad acting, but yet it's there, and it's there so obviously.
Steve, I don't know. The movie hurt me. It was good. I like the concept of it. I love...
Why?
You know, the whole time, Steve, I was thinking, how come someone doesn't bring out a flamethrower or try to eat him? Well, there was one guy that was trying to eat him in a way.
Right.
The one market worker, he's like, oh, you have good color, something like that. And he's licking his lips. But
You should eat this because it'll make you tastier.
Yeah, make you tastier. So he was more realistic to me. But yeah, I don't know.
Somebody chasing him around with some breaded, katsu or some breaded and some batter.
Yeah, some batter or like Burger Time, trying to run after him, shaking some pepper and salt shaker or something. I don't know. That's weird.
So the main character, Kenichi Iwata, died of an illness 3 years ago. And they were saying, well, we already covered that. Okay, let's skip to the next thing here. I thought the movie was trying a little too hard to be topical. Because you can see that if you go to wrestling, there's the main, especially nowadays, where it's like, the reason why I don't like it is that it's, and why some people don't. Okay, I don't like it because it's gotten hokey for me. But, you know, you have the stories aspect, you know, who's the heel, who's the baby face, and stuff like that, versus like actual athletic competition. So it touches on that briefly. Japan's attitude towards the world, you know, is it the evil West that we should always be railing against and maintaining Japanese identity, or should we be pushing more for a unified world pacifist post-1945 Japan? So you could see they were kind of shooing that in, but for me, ultimately, what got me past all of that was this thing reeks of Rocky.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
I'm wondering if you picked up on that.
Yeah, you're right. I think we were speaking briefly about that. And you're right. The exits seem to be like Carl Weathers, the Apollo.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know. And then you've got the Squilla boxer?
Yeah.
Totally Clubber Lang.
Oh, yes, definitely Clubber Lang.
And yeah. Asquilla, for those of you, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but I did do a little research before we hit record. It's a mantis shrimp, and I'll attach a link in the description. The Oatmeal did a really funny comic strip on mantis shrimp where they can apparently, they punch out their prey. Their punch almost approaches the speed of sound.
Okay.
So the water actually, like, splits.
Whoa.
And then so when you do the little bit of research, then having the Squilla boxer show up, it makes sense. You know, it's one thing you can say is that also Ed Wood movies tend to be a little dumb.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy did his homework.
Yeah, he did pretty good with that. That's true. You know, even when in the beginning when the boyfriend tried to put the camel clutch or whatever you want to call it on the squid and it slipped out.
Like, the reverse full Nelson.
Yeah. I think what kind of got me with this movie is you see a little bit of the wrestling. You see a little bit of wrestling in the beginning, which, to me, the squid seemed to be a little bit of a dick, man, because it's like with calamari or whatever you want to call it, the wrestler, because he just rolled up on an old boy during his match and he just won. This wasn't like a normal match. Like, he actually won. What was that organization? The IMCPGB champ. And he rolls up and just takes the dude's belt.
Yeah, but that's like total pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's
setting
true
up the
too.
Next feud,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why true. I kind of rolled my eyes at the start of it. But here was the other thing that I noticed, and this is mainly just me, but I want to see if you had a similar reaction. Did the movie get better as it went on? Because I remember, like, the first half hour, I felt, wow, this is really, really stupid.
Yeah.
And then after that half hour, I kind of got into it.
Or was that our brains finally accepting the...
that maybe we've gone too far.
You know, we're... I don't know, Steve.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because Chelsea was there watching it with me for the first half hour.
Okay.
And I noticed I watched Wolf Cop with her about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And I didn't dig Wolf Cop as much with her there. I felt kind of ashamed. It's like, okay, yeah, I can see this would be a little stupid.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, there's some boobs in here.
And yeah, I felt uncomfortable showing it to her. So I was wondering if my not liking the first half hour of it was kind of a similar shame. You know, it's
and
like
then you got over it.
And then once she got up and started doing other things, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm back into this now.
It's all me now. It's all me.
But at the same time, after that half hour, the Rocky stuff really started to come in hard.
Yeah.
Especially, what was her name? Miyako?
I guess.
She was in the Adrian outfit.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious.
It was hilarious, but so annoying. It was annoying when Adrian did it, and it was annoying when Lois did it.
Lois, how? What? You are bringing your Amy Adams
Lois.
Obsession.
I'm sorry. She was like the Japanese Lois. I don't know, man. I just thinks she's kind of messed up. I don't know. Like,
well, no, she was messed up. Bouncing. And then, of course, once her current boyfriend becomes the octopus wrestler. And then it's like, so what's the difference between an octopus and a squid?
Legs.
Oh, well, right. Yeah.
Their head. Wait. I don't know.
I don't either.
What
I
do,
like,
know is this chick said, and I quote, I quote it. She said, when she was talking to her sister in the bar.
Right, right.
And then she's like, I don't know. Like, how is he going to be able to support me? I'm like, what the shit? Like, are you serious? You have bigger problems, boo. Like, you need some damn calamari, man.
Like, sit down and evaluate your life. I'm thinking about having sex with a calamari.
Yeah.
Maybe my life's in need of some maintenance here.
Definitely. Her sister should have talked to her about that. It's almost like she was, like, pimping her out. Like, take one for the team. I don't know, man. That was weird.
You know, initially I was writing that there was no training montage. Thankfully, later in the movie, proved me wrong.
Yes, which was interesting.
And
I wouldn't want to wear that suit after he was done.
Oh, I made a special note. Tastefully done squid sex.
It was tastefully done squid sex.
No.
I didn't know what was going on. That dude was horny, dude. That was a horny squid. He got hit in the head by a sifu.
Well, right, but he hadn't had it. Look, I can tell you, when you haven't had any for 3 years.
Oh, damn. I guess.
I'm just saying.
It was just, I don't even, I found myself just sitting there watching the movie, like, thinking, because I knew it was coming eventually. I was like, joke. I was like, how is that even going to, like, it was inevitable.
Right, right.
It was inevitable. We knew they're going to have it somehow, some way. And the whole time I was watching, I was like, how is this dude? Like, his bottom half, he has boots on. Maybe. But I guess not, you know, due to the end of the movie. But it's just, I don't know. And I knew that was going to happen too, the end of the movie.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Which, of course, makes you wonder, well, then apparently the disease wasn't all that fatal, or, like, spending time as a cow.
Up in his Carlton Banks sweater. Happy. I'm like, is he still going to die or not? Because
this is the
it.
Second time in the past week I've heard reference to Colton.
Oh, really?
My bad. It's not unusual. No, it's good.
But he said earlier when something happens, okay, I don't know how much we want to sell about this movie.
Believe me, I don't think anybody's going to be watching this after they listen to us.
So remember when the priests or the monks were like, hey, you got to make sure you focus or you'll lose.
Right, avoid temptation and then, okay. Mm.
And then he says, when they're trying to get him back to being a human before he dies, and they had to do the mantras or whatever, he was like, people all die, we all die eventually or whatever. Mm-hmm. So is he, at the end of the movie, is he back human and he's going to die? Or did he recover? What's going to happen to him?
Right. Or did he finally reach his Zen moment and it provided the cure?
He had a sensu bean and he ate it. Man, that movie, it was a good movie. I like how, I think what you're hitting on before, this director is really talented. He brings animals into humanoidish.
For me, it occurred to me on the drive over here that I've done it. I've introduced us to a Japanese B movie.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. So we have done Tokyo Gore, please,
obviously, since this is not a video podcast, you're not seeing it, but Charles's face was incredibly deadpan.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was like,
thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Steve, hello. What's that one where the lady has a machine gun girl?
I think so.
Isn't that a B movie where she has her arms or machine guns or her legs?
I'm not sure because you could look at this and again, I think it was the bad acting that really underscored for me that this was probably a B movie. Whereas something like Zabergar that I reviewed for the site, I'm not sure. You watched it, right?
Which one?
Zabergar, the one with the robot that turned into a motorcycle that was like the guy's brother.
Oh, dang.
And the woman had, like, the mini Tyrannosaurus heads for breasts.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
I mean, at least the acting in that was, it was zany, but you didn't point at it going, wow, that was a really bad delivery. Whereas this, you can do that a couple times.
Yeah.
And that's why I felt comfortable in calling this one a B-movie, whereas you know, Zabrigar and some other stuff, you get some weird shit.
Yeah, there's some weird shit out there, y'all.
But it's still fun, and, you know, there's nothing that snaps you out of it and go, oh, that was a wooden delivery. Try that again.
Well, I think you make you made a good point earlier too, Steve, when you mentioned the whole part about how they were trying to put in like Japanese nationalism and stuff. Because remember when he was like, well, we need this guy or we need this wrestler to happen or not happen because we want Japan to be great again.
Right, because they referenced the old wrestler, Godozan.
Yeah.
And at first you just think that that's a throwaway reference to history. And then later on you find out that Godozan is important to the film. There, we'll avoid one spoiler.
Okay, we'll avoid one spoiler, folks.
One and only one.
Only one. There's a spoiler there. But yeah. They did mention that and what he did.
Right. Mm. Another tie-in, and I'm glad you revisited that point because something else that I absolutely have to bring up, the noodles.
The noodles.
Remember, after the calamari wrestler gets popular, he gets his noodles endorsement.
Yeah. I was like, and they're like better than the. All right, go ahead and explain, Steve. I'm sorry.
Okay, so essentially, ramen, for example, is a staple, and of course you've got the bowls where you just add the hot water, cup of soup. Mm-hmm. You know, well, in these you add water, and then the ink, happens, and so you see these people eating noodles, and they all have black teeth from all the ink.
Dude. With more squid pieces or octopus pieces. Yeah, it's squid ink. With octopus pieces.
I thought that was fantastic.
It was amazing, Steve. Okay, you're right. I got that.
I won't go so far as to say cinematic genius, but close.
I don't know. I just like the integration of the creature. See, there are certain people that realized how wrong it was. Like, for example, the executive promoter or whatever that of the Wrestling Federation, he was like, you're a monster. It's like, you know, when he was like kind of like trying to get him to wrestle and take the dive.
Right.
Or whatever. And then there's like again in the market, there's a guy that saw him. He starts screaming. He's like, you know. So I was like, okay, people do realize he is.
Well, right. But that was the thing, though, is that, and I've heard this is a similar theme in Executive Koala, is that people do notice it. But it's only a handful. Everyone else just suddenly seems fine with it.
Yeah, they're good with it, man. Right off the bat, like, just good with it.
In fact, there's, like, fan clubs and all that, and it's just like...
Yeah. I'm like, that's crazy.
That crying you hear in the background is somebody who just watched the movie. I was looking all over, and that's the end of my notes, aside from saying that, honestly, this is Rocky 1, 2, and 3.
It is.
Smushed up into a movie.
It's smushed up.
And given that Japanese flavor.
Oh, wait a second. But Apollo was an alcoholic, though. Like, that dude was a straight alcoholic, man. Like, he was...
Because we can be critical. Let us get off of our high horses for a moment.
I gotta take another drink of this. But I'm just saying, it's really interesting, especially when he was at the bar and he was trying to talk to the women. He was like, yeah, have you made loads of octopus before? Like, my sucky sucky. Oh, my gosh. That's after he got beat as an octopus.
Right.
Which, he didn't hardly throw any punches or anything. He just stood there and took a beating.
Well, to be fair, he was new to the octopus form.
Oh, that is true. Good point.
I don't know. I'm reaching.
But I like how he asked his girl, who's better in bed?
Oh, God. That's right. I remember.
When she kind of slapped him, but it was like a weak-wristed slap.
Right.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, you don't want to mess up the suit. I mean, I got to admit, it's like the calamari suit was kind of cool. The octopus suit was okay. The Squilla or the Mantis Shrimp suit, I thought was really cool. I think that the last one was the best of the three.
Yeah, that's true. He definitely had some great eye control, and I like how you can hear the little mechanisms working inside
of it. Right.
Like, it was like a little flaw, but it was cool. You know, I thought was interesting too, Steve, is when he did have those thoughts of impurity. And remember that one time when he was dreaming about her?
He's rubbing his own tentacles.
And he, and he woke up in a sweat. Right. And then the trainer guy or whatever, he said, come and scrub my back.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess he's trying to get his mind off old girl by scrubbing another man's back.
Since we've already crossed so many uncrossable bridges, do you go into the homoeroticism at this point? And you figure, why not?
Why not? I mean, we could be wrong. I don't know. It's always good to have a squid around. I think they have, don't they?
Yeah, I think SpongeBob would disagree with that.
I think you're right.
Hey, SpongeBob.
It's some Squidward.
Hey, guess what? The baby's gone. Okay.
We still got
trivia night, but at least one thing is removed.
Yes, no, we're not doing this at a daycare. We still are at AFK, y'all. Just to let you know.
The magic is back.
Yes. Magic. let's see.
What else you got?
Well, I have here, Steve, what I made, which was really interesting to me, was you remember the Ric Flair type character?
Woo! Yes. Unfortunately, I did. I'm probably. Let's go back and look at the waveform on that. Actually, I don't think I peeked out on that one. All right. Oh. But yes, remember last Comic-Con? Not obviously not the last one, 2018. The one we went in 2017. Did we go in 2017 or was it 2016?
The one that we went around and Lynn
was
there.
Yeah, we were trying to find everybody else.
Yeah.
So yeah. Of course, when we say Comic-Con, we're talking about Emerald City Comic-Con because we're too broke to go to San Diego.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, the site doesn't pay.
But feel free to send in any donations you wish to.
If you want us to cover San Diego Comic-Con. Kick us some cheddar.
Yeah. Or set a GoFundMe, and you can send us proceeds. However it works, you know how it goes.
Well, anyway, I mean, it was neat to see Ric Flair there, but he looked so sad.
Oh, really? Like he was in an invisible cage.
Well, he's in like this. He's in his like little booth, and you know, I mean, he seemed like the nicest guy. He was taking pictures. He was signing autographs, and you know, even I wanted to say, "Hey, my brother's a big fan."
Yeah.
You
did
know?
He go woo?
No, because what? He just kind of sat there, and you could read his expression. He's like, "I'm in a room full of nerds."
Whoa! He's like, "I just want to buy slime, each and every one of them."
Like, just get me out. It was like you could hear the end music of the 70s Hulk.
Not the walking song.
Yeah, the Lonely Man walking song.
Or Ric Flair. Oh my gosh.
I mean,
we love you.
He's fine, you know, but it's just like, I can understand that if you're sitting someplace you kind of don't want to be, but
thanks
they're paying you.
But I thought that was neat that they had that character in there. And then did you notice later he was wearing a
Toys R Us t-shirt. Yes, I forgot to bring that up because I saw that. Because, he was sitting there. And, it's like a Japanese Ric Flair because he's all buff and he looks Japanese, but he has the long blonde hair. Yeah. You're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And he's talking about the pride of wrestling. I mean, what we expect from professional wrestlers now. And then, he's sitting there and he's wearing a Toys R Us t-shirt.
That was nuts.
Man, I had to give the film a moment of silence for that.
Yeah, really?
Hang on, I'm a poor little out for Toys R Us.
Oh, poor little out for Toys R Us. It's perfect timing, Steve.
He ain't with it no more.
It was like a perfect time, Steve. And another thing I noticed was, I think I know why the squid, I'm sorry, I keep saying squid, calamari squid, whatever, wrestler.
Well, they're the same, just so long as you don't confuse the squid with the octopus.
One's uncooked. Oh, wait, are both of them cooked? No, wait.
Really?
What
are
right
we going to argue about that?
I don't know. Culinary delights. Chef Ramsay, hit us up. So I was like thinking, I know why he likes that chick who has no loyalty. Because remember he was explaining how his mom was a geisha and his dad was their number one client.
And we find out who the dad was.
Oh, no. That's a partial spoiler.
I didn't say
that's who. That's a partial spoiler.
Did not say who.
He didn't say who. I don't know, man. It was interesting. I think that what you said, the squab.
You said squib?
Squib. What is that thing called again?
Squid? Calamari?
No,
Squilla.
The Squilla. For Shilla.
Let, They call it a squilla in the subtitles. Squilla. I think if we just say mantis shrimp, it would be
mantis
the same.
Mantis shrimp. But. Yeah, the shrimp. Dude, he won that fight.
Oh, yeah.
But he just didn't pin him down.
Right.
Remember, he knocked him out.
Right, right.
I was like, yeah.
Mach 1 punch, but man.
That was it.
Rakuto Pancho.
And I don't understand how he could get punched and then, like, his boy gets knocked out.
Oh, right, right, right.
Maybe didn't hit him as hard.
What else you got?
Let's see. Oh, I want to have your babies. And I wrote, what? In exclamation, exclamation.
I mean, dude, I like you and all when we do this podcast, but
I
got to draw a line.
This is like that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Dude, what is that?
What, did she say
she
that?
She said that, man.
Oh,
before
right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so naturally, the end of the film is no surprise.
Yeah, she has a weird-ass rosemary squid they're throwing up in the air.
Rosemary squid?
Whatever that was. That was so disgusting.
I don't know. How does calamari taste with a touch of rosemary?
Oh, jeez. I figure it tastes pretty delicious. Like, eat the baby.
Eat the baby.
I know. Exactly. Nice voice, Steve. Nice voice. Yeah.
So delicious. I'm going to do that.
And I'm like, first of all, she doesn't know what's going to happen once she's injected with squid whatever's up in her. So you want to have, it might be an alien moment. This chick was all about the Benjamins, man, for real. I'm telling
man,
you.
I think you overthought that.
Sorry. Has experiences. Shout out blonde people in Canada.
Yeah, Mount Charles just went off. Not like that, but somebody tried to take a drink and
I was laughing at the same time I had my mouth on the straw, which created a huge eruption inside of my glass. Thank goodness something stopped.
You know, given that we were talking about squid babies and now eruptions.
Sorry. Flat.
Charles, hands where we can see them, please, at all times.
My bad. You know, it's weird, too, that how come calamari dude used ink and then octopus dude didn't? But you're right. He wasn't octopus long. You're right.
Well, that might be it. You know, he didn't go to Xavier's school.
He didn't go to Xavier's school. To be honest with you, Steve, you're right. I think the first 30 minutes was kind of mediocre. But then I don't know what happened.
Once the wheels just finally fall off and we do go full bore bonkers, the movie hits its stride.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's this director's strong suit. I got to admit, I'm kind of looking forward to going down the rabbit hole deeper here.
Mm. Oh, man. Dude, there's definitely got to be a part two. After what we know now.
I was going to say, just the one where it's like a pro wrestler versus a kaiju to save Japan. Yeah, I think that's my next trip to Scarecrow.
Oh, man. Hey, you know where I think the movie changed for me? Is when he got snuck on the streets. When he was shopping with old girl. She just wanted to spend all his money. Go, Digger.
Right. And that's where the shrimp kicks in. Pow.
And it was like, he only hits you with half. Later, like, he only hits you with half.
I think you're right. That was the turning point.
That was the turning point, dude. Because, I was laughing my ass off.
Because you're like, okay, this is Rocky. Okay, this is bad acting. This is that's a giant fucking shrimp.
Yeah, he just laid him out. He laid out a squid.
Right, because that's where my brain snapped, and it was, it's Clubber Lang, fool.
Hey, woman,
you won't be a real champion. You ain't got time for this fool.
Oh, man, sounds hilarious. But hopefully he knocked those sunglasses off his face. I think he did. Because remember he walked into that one restaurant to have Don P. The lady's like, oh, what do you want? He's like, some Don Perignon. I'm like, really? It looks like they're eating at a bubble waffle place, a bubble tea place. And so he had sunglasses on when he walked up in there. Like,
yeah,
but they didn't cover his eyes.
And right. They're just like on the little beak spout, there, and then the eyes are still.
Oh, geez.
So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I thought that was, again, another one of those gonzo touches that really helps the film.
Oh, my gosh. He laid him out. It was beating him in the street, dude. That was hilarious. Hilarious. And he even cut him in the face. He cut his
face.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
So.
The thriller and the gorilla.
Yeah, he got him. I guess it's the reason why, no spoiler, maybe, that he didn't kill him. Because I was like, why didn't he use his little claw?
Well, right, but at the same time, if you're going to go through, it's a question of degrees. If you're going to publicly humiliate, spoiler deleted, why is it okay to do that and not just outright kill him? Especially given the plot ends out and it's a twist, you know?
Yeah, it's a twist, it's a twist. Which I didn't understand that part either, the slapping at the end.
I'm not sure I remember.
But, you know, hey.
Oh, right. Don't remember that.
Oh, when they're in the ring and there's a big reveal.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, and then the slapping.
Wow. I have failed you.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I wanted to watch the film again before the podcast, but alas, time got away from me.
I was looking at my last.
I'm looking at your notes and I see FML at the end of it.
There's probably a lot of FMLs. So what I have...
It's like Charles's true opinion of the film. He's sitting there just scrolling instead of all work and no play makes Charles a dull boy. He's like, fuck my life. Fuck my life. Why did I let this asshole talk me into watching this movie? Fuck my life.
Yeah, man. Okay, so the reason why I wrote it this particular time, I'm sure there's other ones in my notes. But I wrote in here at the end when I was talking about, you know how when he was running with the sweater and old girl was there and they kind of changed the color of the film. Like, what do you call that? That vintage.
Kind of a sepia tone.
Yeah, right? So I was thinking to myself, are they in hell? Like for a black hole?
Yeah, okay, no, I thought they might have been going for like some afterlife sort of thing, too, because the guy had a fatal disease. The whole movie is building up to this point of he's probably going to die at the end of this, and yet it does a jeté, if you will, an about face, and suddenly it's a happy ever after with baby squid.
In hell. And I was like, I wonder if what's the robot in the dude's name, the captain?
Oh, Maximilian. Well, Maximilian was the robot. What was the captain? Reinhardt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's you're gonna see him.
That's a deep dive to episode one, boys and girls.
So that's a nod, yo, to the episode one. So I was like, oh, I think he's dead because he's happy seeing this depiction. Even though I don't know why you want to imagine a squid baby when you're human, but anyway.
So was it a murder suicide then?
Dude, I don't know, baby. Like, I cut it out of you. I don't know, dude. That was weird. Tossing that little thing in the air. I don't even know, man. No comment on that. But that's not the spoiler, folks. There's
We've left one stone unturned because we can't ruin everything. Because some of you deranged maniacs may actually want to watch this movie afterwards.
Yes.
Anything else?
For some reason, I wrote in here intestinal blockage. Why did I write that in there? Was that mentioned? I think that was mentioned in the movie. Something about intestinal. Oh, that's how the dude. All right, there's. I don't know if anyone knew how
Godozan.
How he died. Because didn't someone say, oh, he got stabbed in a brothel? Oh, which would mean that was the mom, the geisha.
Right, okay.
He got stabbed by her.
But wait, didn't he die from intestinal blockage, though?
But that's what the other... Later, they were saying, oh, he died due to intestinal blockage.
Right. I know what I was... Oh, shit.
Dude.
No.
What?
Dude.
What?
You made mention of it of yourself with the rub my back.
Okay.
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 Intestinal blockage.
Oh, that's not good for you.
Charles has just put two and two together as I have.
No, he was with the geisha.
He didn't have to be all night.
Oh, that's true.
I mean.
Oh, so I blew his back out, yo.
And left the shrapnel.
Pow. Well, let's see, he was constipated and just blew up.
Boom. You are missing it, aren't you?
I think I knew you were talking about Steve. But who was the person blocking his intestines then?
Or maybe it was kind of like a self-gratification thing.
Oh, yeah.
The internet is rife with x-ray pictures of people putting things where they don't
Recipes
belong.
Recipes, David Carradine.
He was just hanging out.
No offense, no offense. We love Derek Carradine. Check out.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Episode 3.
That was 4, oh, but 4? It was the 3rd podcast.
That, oh yeah, we'll get into that another day. But yes, we did mention the cursed episode. But yes, so yeah, that one was Long Wolf McQuade. Boo. Awesome movie.
Boo.
Not Steve's favorite.
This is my payback to you for Lone Wolf McQuade.
Oh, geez. Thanks. Thanks, Steve. FML. That's it. I mean, that's all I have.
That's all you got? All Pretty right. Much. So we come down to the score. Mm. I got to admit, I think this movie would be fantastic blitzed. Mm. Like I said, the first 30 minutes were kind of hard to get through. Mm. I think if you use that first 30 minutes of getting into the game.
Yeah, pre-gaming or after gaming, yeah.
Then I think the last hour already flows pretty well, but
that's true.
Since I just watched Shaun of the Dead a little bit ago, I do have to make a reference to, I think if you were good and lit, that last hour would be like, you know.
That's Shaun of the Dead, awesome.
Oh, and there was multi-levels to that because butter on calamari.
Delicious. Sweet ass, oh boy. The other wrestler, because he was eating them, eating calamari. But I don't know. The only thing that bothered me, I'll be honest,
I mean,
with
he
you,
was down on that
he
thing,
too. He was backing down on it. He was stuffing them legs in his mouth.
Lily's more merciful with her pig ears.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what I found interesting, too, is everyone knew who the calamari wrestler was. I like that. Everyone figured it out.
I thought that was an interesting way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. No secrets there.
No secret. It was pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little too quick.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It worked out, though.
I think that is the strength of this movie, is that it doesn't linger on any one point for any amount of time, because the minute you start thinking about this movie, you're doomed.
I say where they lingered, Steve, and it kind of bothered me a little bit, where they lingered was wiggling that dead calamari on the screen for the intro, which was very long.
Oh, the opening credits?
Yeah, and they were wiggling that dead calamari. That thing wasn't alive. Someone was actually shaking it. I was like, that calamari is dead.
And shake your money, make it.
They were shaking the thing. And then I think what I find interesting is they had a music video on that DVD from the ending song.
I did not watch that.
Well, see if you're not missing anything at all. You know.
Well, yeah, but it's like I haven't plumbed the depths of the torture that I myself recommended.
Dude. Maybe he did it just to have sex with that lady or something. Like, hey, I'll put you in my movie at the end as an attachment to the movie.
Oh. All right. Well, Charles is about to die here, so...
Sorry, I was thinking about that calamari. Or that video.
Okay, so our usual alcohol rating.
Explain it, Steve.
Okay, lowest score is best. So if you give it a 0, then, of course, it's a good movie. I don't need anything to help me get through this. The more alcohol you assign, whether if it's a like mildly bad but still enjoyable, you could give it 3 or 4 beers. For half measures, we usually will use shots. If it's really, really stinker, though, you might just want to go straight shots.
Yeah, that's true. Good
so
point.
We're taking into account the alcohol content that you need to help get you through this film.
Through the movie. So what do you have there, Steve? What are you thinking?
Wow. That's a really good question, because like I said, I think this would be amazing blitzed. Like, you're getting ready to pop it in, throw down 3-4 shots in rapid succession so that by the time you lose feeling in your appendages, you're past that half hour point.
Yeah, you're right.
But I mean, just looking at it as just kind of a general film buff, I could do 2 or 3 beers. Oh, okay. I mean, because you just need to get past that first half hour.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
Once you get past that, the movie picks up on its own.
Yeah.
So you definitely need some alcohol to smooth out the hard parts, the difficult parts. But like I said, I think being off kilter in some way for this movie, whether it's if you want to do the alcohol like we usually do here on the show, or I got to admit, this might be something to watch with some herbal essences, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
We're not condoning
we can't.
Mothers out there. I don't know, Steve. I think I definitely agree with you. Got to get past that 30 minutes. But, you know, yeah, maybe a couple of shots. 2 shots and a beer towards the end, maybe. then I can say, kanpai. Drink it up.
That's right. That's
right. Drink some Asahi while you're watching this. But yeah,
sake!
I think so. Sake! A little Tom Cruise, you know? So yeah, I think, yeah, wow. I think that works.
I think we've effectively rendered our rating scale moot at this point.
Exactly, exactly.
This was it. This was the rating killer.
This is the rating killer right here, explosion. I was about to say, we just banged it out like that squid was banging on a door to get inside, to get inside of the apartment.
Oh, very true, very true. All right, well, that's going to do it. I've got the old outro here, too, but again, we're just going to have to think of something a bit more clever to say.
Oh, yeah.
Charles is at the end of his drink, I'm at the end of my drink, and we're at the end of the movie, so...
Yes.
We will adjourn, and hopefully we'll start doing this more regularly, but if not, it wouldn't be a surprise to anybody, would it?
That's true. But Steve, oh, I have a question before we get out of here. So if someone wanted to contact you, Steve, or to put an opinion in or some feedback,
that's right.
Where would they reach you?
That almost sounded scripted, but it wasn't because Charles does not have a script in front of him.
No, I don't, actually.
No, seriously.
No FMLs.
Aside from his notes, there's nothing there. All right. Yes, I should start saying that at the end of the, we used to say it at the beginning. So you can always email us at nukingthecat@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at nukingthecat. And then, of course, going to the website, if you leave a comment, I will be notified and I will get right back to you. So those are the big three.
Yeah.
Twitter at nukingthecat.com, Gmail, nukingthecat@gmail.com. Or stop by the site, nukingthecat.com, and leave a comment in the show notes that we post, and I will get back with you one way or the other.
Yeah, please do. Please do, guys. You know, any suggestions or movies you can think of that you'd like to hear, right, Steve? Or
Always open to, we like to do the obscure movies, obviously, and we're always open to, let's face it, the poorer taste, the better.
Yes.
On that note, although we won't do a podcast for a movie that I've already done a written review for, unless I absolutely feel the need to make Charles suffer. Also, I guess it's worth noting that we still have two archival podcasts that have been done many moons ago.
Yes.
And I will get those posted as soon as possible. So, yeah.
You would be amazed.
Yeah, let's temper our expectations there.
Sorry. You may be amazed.
It will kill time. That's all we can really promise.
Yes.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up here. I'm going to hit the stop button. Frank, hit the button.
All right.
Hit the button.